نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. الحمد لله. Tomorrow night we will start what is known as the i'tikaf. And the idea of the i'tikaf is to seclude oneself in the masjid primarily for the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling our obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a sunnah for our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take part in i'tikaf in as far as the month of Ramadan is concerned. And also we are very well aware that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to also seclude himself in Ghar Hira. And seclusion is done in Islam for the reason of us reflecting upon what are my demands and what does Allah demand of me. We have to understand that individuals by nature are very much affected by other individuals. This is how humans are. Humans are known as what they call social butterflies. We like to talk, we like to meet, we like to go on social media, we like to interact. And every interaction that we take part in, to some extent or the other, is going to affect who we are as people. So for example, I meet two individuals, one I talk for 3 minutes and one I talk for 30 seconds. The one that is spoken to less will think, why didn't he speak to me a little bit longer? The one that I spoke longer with will automatically think, maybe he likes me more. Not realizing the system of Allah is such, the system of Rasul was such, that sometimes you will talk more to one person because he knew full well that if he didn't speak more to one person, that person may leave the fold of Islam. The other one he may talk less to because he knows that person's iman is strong. That person will do good. So that individual he may talk less to, may not even give any money to. And the one that has weak iman, he will give more things to. Why? Because this is the system of Allah. But the way we are, it is quite very different. If I don't talk more to one person, he gets offended. If I don't make salam longer to one person, he gets offended. If I don't go to one person's house and I go to the other one's house, they get offended. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, we learn something very important. We are affected by people all the time. And we have to break this habit of being affected by people. That is why there were many individuals when they go in Khuruj, for example. When they would come back, the leaders of Khuruj, when they would come back to their home, one of the first things they would do is what? They would go to their local masjid and sit in that masjid sometimes for a day, 2 days or 3 days alone. Now anyone will tell you, if I went in the path of Allah, definitely my iman should be strengthened. No, it doesn't necessarily happen that way. Because when you interact with people, your iman is going to be affected, whether it is religious people or non-religious people. And if you are in the work of da'wah and tabligh, so many things happen that are negative in nature. As I mentioned, my father had a friend. He went to a person's house. They knocked on the door. Brother, come out in the path of Allah. That person got very angry. That person was having dinner. That person took what they call this faludo. What's faludo in English? The sweet dish. And he threw it on that guy. He says, what are you coming to my house for? Get out from here. And he threw it. Now, what are you going to do if somebody threw it? Now, this guy was about 6'4". And what did he do? When he landed on his face, he took out his tongue. Very, very tasty. Today, your wife must be very happy with you. I had never tasted such sweet thing in my life. But guess what? It had to affect his iman. Because you did that. It looks very positive what you did. But it brings you down for a few moments. So even though you're in the path of Allah, there are people that are going to do things to you. There are things that are going to be negative coming your way. How do you break that from yourself? Psychology talks about this. They call it the theory of transference. Where psychologists, by the way, and communication specialists sometimes have the worst marriages. How can a person who studied marriage have the worst marriage? How can a person who has been in the area of communication, interpersonal communication, one of the things I studied with, ask me about my life now. Why do we have sometimes the most problems in relationships? Because we study it, we evaluate it, we overthink it.
And sometimes that has negative consequences. So regarding these scholars, what they would do, when they would come back from meeting people, whether it was religious or non-religious people, they would now sit one side and reflect, did I do what my Allah demanded of me? How do I clean myself out with all the various things I talked, the various arguments that took place, the various dialogues that took place, the various effects of bid'ah, non-bid'ah, whatever I've seen, how do I detox myself from that? And this is something every individual has to take part, whether they are in business, whether they're in the medical profession, whether they are eye doctors, whether they are lawyers, whatever. There has to become a time when we sit one side and we say, as a businessman, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing on a humanitarian level, on a religious level, on a social level, on a family level? Where is my money going? Where's my accountability? As a doctor, what am I doing for my health? What am I doing for the health of my family? What am I doing for the health of my community? As a lawyer, as a teacher, the only way this can come into existence, if you seclude yourself, what they say in American language, you must step back from the problem. Because when you are in the problem, you sometimes become the problem. So sometimes now you have to pull yourself out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so beautiful for us. We have what is known as the i'tikaf. And the idea of the i'tikaf is to sit in seclusion and to reflect my life. What was my life before? What is my life now? Now that I'm in the masjid, in this one given corner, I'm able to read more Quran. I'm able to make more subhanallah, more alhamdulillah, more Allahu Akbar, with the true idea that Allah is the greatest. Nothing is greater than Allah. Allah is the one that deserves all praise. Nothing behind deserves more praise than Allah. Not my family, not myself, or anyone out there. Allah is the greatest, and Allah must be the only one that is worshipped. When I say astaghfirullah, when I'm in itikaf, it must be with this feeling that I'm begging Allah for forgiveness. Allah has been so kind to me. Allah has concealed what I do in private. Now, it is time for me to make myself realize, in my private life I must be good, in my public life I must be also a good person. So inshallah, this is the idea of i'tikaf. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi had done it. I know, alhamdulillah, some of you are doing it. If also, besides the students, if the people from the public can also come in and join themselves with their Allah in this blessed month, inshallah it will change your life and the life of others as well. And those of you that cannot do the full i'tikaf, that means the one that is for the full time period of the last 10 days, then by all means, at least try and do it 1 day out of the 10, 2 days out of the 10, 3 days out of the 10. And there are two types of i'tikaf. One is the nafil one. When you walk into the masjid, you say, oh Allah, as long as I'm in the masjid, I'm in i'tikaf. That is the nafil one. That means it can be for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 seconds, whatever. Then you get the more serious one. And the serious one is for the time period of a day and night. That means from one Maghrib to the next Maghrib, you make it your intention, you will be in the masjid. And many people get very shy, because if I come and do that for 1 day, people will think I'm very pious, people will think I'm very good. It's amazing, people really amaze me. When you're doing wrong, it doesn't matter what people look and what people say. But when you do something good, people will think I'm very pious. Trust me, those days are over. Everybody knows the skeletons in my closet and they know the skeletons in your closet. They're not going to say you are very, very pious. And if they say it, it's just to tease you a little bit. So don't take it personally. My point is, at least try to dedicate 1 day out of the 10 days with this in mind, that, oh Allah, I'm doing a nafil itikaf, but I'm doing it on a serious level of one Maghrib to the next Maghrib. And inshallah, if you did that, you will put away According to some, 40 days worth of sin one side. According to others, 70 days. According to others, 100 days of sin, inshallah, you'll be able to put aside. Because one reward in the month of Ramadan, or one good day in the path of Allah in the month of Ramadan, can give you, according to some, 40 days of benefit, according to some, 70, according to some, 100, according to others, even beyond that. There is no limit in the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, if you cannot spend at least 10 days, at least one day, Maghrib to Maghrib, try to get a spot in the masjid, lock yourself up on that spot, and inshallah, the benefit of that will be found for yourself, not only in this world, but also inshallah, in the hereafter to come as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in doing justice to the last 10 days. I mean, we do justice to so many things out there. Now let us focus a little bit, on ourselves, on secluding ourselves from that which is always pulling us down. May Allah help us and guide us at all times. Inshallah, I think I will begin tomorrow at Maghrib. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.